Good morning. I don't know what it is. It's something about campfire smoke and grill smoke and seeing things explode in the air that just has me joyful this morning, or maybe it's beating on a box. I don't know, but I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I hope you are as well. And if you're a little tired and groggy from the weekend that you've had, don't worry about it, because I'm going to help you wake up this morning. All right? Sound good? All right. So Psalm 119. Today, I want to kick off our Summer in the Psalm series with a little bit more of a topical message. And I've already mentioned that we're gonna skydive right into the middle of Psalm 119, which I don't typically like to do. I like to kind of cover a whole passage, but I wanted to address today this word freedom from the Psalms. And as I looked and as I prayed through and as I scoured the Psalms, I just thought there's no better place than verses 41 through 48 of Psalm 119. And so many of you have heard me joke already a little bit, but Psalms, there's 150 of them, right? And they all range in length, okay? But Psalm 119 is by far the longest, okay? It's by far the longest. It's made up of a collection, really, of little psalms. And if you look at verses 41 through 48, let's just read it together, and then we'll kind of jump back out and we'll give it some context. Sound good? All right. Well, I'm gonna need that throughout the day, okay? Just stay awake with me, okay? Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, the psalmist says. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me. For I trust in your word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. I love that the psalmist here in these few short verses, twice towards the end, makes it a point to talk about delighting in the Lord's commandments, which he, and again, as he says twice, says he loves. Loves. Look at your neighbor and says, delight. Look at your neighbor and say, delight. Delight. I don't know about you, but when I read a set of rules or commandments, my first response is to not always delight. It's to push them. Right? Anybody else like me? Okay? I know. It makes sense. Okay? But the psalmist here says he delights in his commandments. He wants to lift his hands, which is a sign of worship towards his commandments, which he loves. And he makes the claim to meditate on, makes the commitment to meditate on statutes. So we often think of freedom. I want you to just think, how would you define freedom? Because I'm sure, you know, in a room this size, pastor numbers, we've got about 1,100 people in the room, right? If we went around and asked each other, right, what's your definition of freedom? Most of us would say something to the effect of the ability to do what I want. Right? Many of us think of that when we think of freedom, right? The ability to do what I want. When we were growing up, right, the ability to stay awake as late as I want to. How dumb was that? Right? The ability to eat what I want. The ability to have ice cream whenever I wanted to have ice cream. Right? The ability to watch whatever I wanted to watch. The ability to go places. Right? The freedom to do those things. The ability ultimately to do what I want. And so this idea of freedom, we often think about is the ability to do whatever we want. But the Bible talks a lot about, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, a much richer and a much deeper freedom. A freedom not from responsibility, but the freedom to truly live in righteousness, in peace, and in joy under God's grace. Paul puts it to the church at Galatia in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And I prayed this a few moments ago. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. See, how many of you know that some of the freedoms that we like to choose and enjoy for us now that we think are joyful, ultimately we pay a price for? What happens now if you stay awake too late? You pay a price. And the older you get, the longer you pay that price. I'm learning these things, right? You used to be able to eat anything, and now I have to think about, well, what time is it? Because if I eat this after a certain time, I'm going to pay for it about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, right? We have to think about those things. And so all these freedoms that we thought we enjoyed now, right, they come back to bite us. And what Scripture talks about is a true freedom that comes only from Jesus, only from knowing, loving, and following Jesus. The psalmist shows us in Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48, how freedom flows from a life shaped by God's steadfast love and His Word. How a freedom flows from a life shaped by God's steadfast love and His Word. So I want to point some things out to you about these few verses and then give you three takeaways. Sound good? All right, good. Thanks, Russ. What was it? Never mind. We'll talk later. Number one, look at verses 41 through 42. Let your steadfast love come to me again, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me. For I trust in your word. For I trust in your word. And we talk about this often, that if we believe God is who he says he is, and if we believe God does what he says he's going to do, then the Christian should live differently than anybody else. Amen? Come on now. Because we have a trust in the person and work of God. Freedom begins, number one, with God's love. Freedom begins with God's love. Without God's love and what he did in the gospel, which the gospel is that word that we use for the good news of Jesus, without the gospel, without God's love in the gospel, that he loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world would have life in his name. Amen? And so without that, there's no freedom. You think about the Old Testament. You think about all the rituals and all the things that they had to do just to have access to God. All of the cleansings, all of, you know, the people that they had to go to so that someone could go to God on their behalf. They didn't have access to God. They didn't have the freedom to worship God like we have the freedom to worship God. Without the gospel, without the good news of Jesus, from the love of God, freedom is not a thing that we could experience in the ways that we can experience today. The psalmist starts with a plea for God's love and salvation. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then, right? So he's saying, I want your love for me, and then I will have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. See, true freedom, a lot of us think about the laws from the Old Testament, and we think about how, wow, it's so good that we don't have to follow those anymore. But the truth is that true freedom is not found in independence from God, but dependence on his love. See, we think of freedom as independence from things. Right? Like we used to think about, We're talking about this because we have a rising senior, and so someone came to me recently, and they were like, "Are you going to let your kid, you know, come back and live in your house when they're in college?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. We haven't really thought about that or talked about that, right?" But we think of freedom a lot of times as a child, as a teenager, right? As independence from mom and dad's house, right? Like, that's freedom. And then how many of you remember the day you realized, like, taking out the trash and laundry and things like that? Like, I didn't realize you had to buy trash bags. I just thought they came with your apartment. Like, I just thought that was a thing that was always there. I never really knew how they showed up, Fred. They were always there. They always showed up. And so then when you're a poor college student, you're thinking, I need to go buy groceries. I don't want to waste money on trash bags. I've got a trash can. I'll just go dump the trash can into the dumpster every so often instead of using trash bags. And then I started dating this girl named Kristen, and she thought that was the dumbest thing on the planet. And so I went and bought trash bags. Right? We always think, and we kind of fantasize even about this idea of independence. It's a true story, by the way. You can ask her about it. It's a miracle she stuck with me back then. I've come a long way. Let's not let that be the only place you say amen, okay, Fred? Okay? Just because I engaged with you, okay? All right. Where was I? We fantasize even about this idea of independence and freedom, but then it comes with a cost. And what we've got to recognize when it comes to the freedom that God offers, it's not independence from God that really brings true freedom. It's actually a dependence on his love. And the psalmist wants this. Why? So that he can answer his enemies. There's people after him. There's things after him. And he doesn't want to answer his enemies with clever arguments or trickery, but he wants to answer his enemies with trust in God's word. And so if you're ever in a place where you're criticized or attacked or even questioned for your faith, the idea from the psalmist here in freedom is not to rest in your own wisdom, but in the steadfast love of God that he reveals in Scripture. And the truth from this point, and that freedom begins with God's love, is don't let the world define your worth, because God's love already has. Don't let the world define your worth, because God's love in Christ Jesus has already defined your worth, that he loved us enough to come and die for us. That's worth. That's worth. Number two, look at verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. Now, this is interesting. Freedom is sustained by the word of God. Freedom is sustained by the word of God. The psalmist knows life without God's truth. And he knows that life without God's truth is spiritual silence and defeat. And so in the Old Testament, we know this, there's about 713 Old Testament laws, right? That's a lot, right? About all kinds of things, about the type of clothing that you wear and how you're supposed to have your hair and all of that. And if we looked long and hard enough, each and every one of us are disqualified by probably about 400 or 500 of them right off the bat. Right? And so there was this thing called the law, right? And a lot of people think about, well, I don't want the law, but the reality is we all need the law. We were talking recently, we had some family of ours that was camping, and we were talking about how one of the rules of the campground was that you couldn't ride your bike after like 8 o'clock at night. And you know, in Maine, we get the benefit of still having some daylight at like 9, 9:15, right? And so it's awesome. And so there was some frustration around not being able to ride their bike after 8 or 8:30 because they could still see and there was still daylight, right? And so we were talking about this and we were kind of going back and forth about this the other day, and finally somebody said, well, you know, something probably happened. Somebody fell, somebody got hit by a car, something happened, and they probably got in trouble for it, and so now they've got a rule for it, right? What we've got to recognize is that for every rule, there's a reason that someone thought that was a good rule. I don't for 1 second believe that people sit in a room sometime and think, how can we make our customers frustrated? How can we make our people angry? Right? How can we make life difficult on our people? If you've ever been in business, if you've ever been in customer service, you know that people bend over backwards to try to serve and please and make people happy. Right? That's the goal, is to make people as comfortable as they possibly can be, as satisfied as they possibly can be, until something happens. And then the rules have to be adjusted, right? And then the rules have to be adjusted. And so what I'm getting at here is that not everything in the Old Testament can be discounted just because we're free from the law. There's some good things there. And the psalmist here is saying, I want the truth of your word on my mouth. My hope is in your rules. My hope is in your rules. Isn't that countercultural? In a world where we're constantly trying to push and stretch and bend and twist to find hope in the set of rules and boundaries and safeguards that are placed around us. See, many of us claim this was the topic of men's breakfast yesterday, and Tom did a fabulous job talking about this. But many of us look at legalism and all of that, and we get frustrated with the rules, but what we find is that there's freedom in these safeguards. There's freedom in the choice to follow and pursue Jesus, knowing that these things draw me closer to God. His desire, the psalmist, is continual access to speak and live by the truth. Why? Again, because his hope is in it. And so today, when we think about freedom, let your mouth be full of God's word. And if my mouth is going to be full of God's word, guess what? I've got to be in God's word. I've got to be in God's word. I've got to be in God's word. Now, people come to me all the time and they say, well, I can't preach. I can't share my faith because I can't memorize scripture. I get it. But here's what happens. When you read something over and over again attentively. Now, what we can't do, and this is what I see people often trying to do, right? They've got the scriptures out in front of them, and they're doing this, right? Or they're trying to look at the Bible on their phone, and then a bubble pops up or a notification pops up, however you receive your notifications, right? And then all of a sudden you're out of it, right? What we've got to do is be attentive and focused in the Word of God. And guess what? God recalls those things to memory. God recalls those things to memory. It doesn't mean that you've memorized all of these things. But it means you're living according to the Word. And so let your mouth be full of God's Word, whether at work, in the home, online. Speak with confidence that comes from the unchanging truth of Scripture. Because that never changes. That's why we talk about it around here often, that if we're going to disagree, let's disagree with our Bibles open. Let's disagree with our Bibles open. Don't let culture dictate your biblical convictions. Let Scripture dictate your biblical convictions. Because oftentimes culture is wrong. It's fascinating to me how often Pastor Rick Ochsner and I were talking about this recently as he sits in groups of people, and I sit in groups of people, and people make claims, well, the Bible says this. And you ask them, well, where exactly does it say that? I don't know. It says it somewhere. And then you research it, and guess what? It ain't in there. But somebody said years ago, well, the Bible says this, and so they believed it. They took it as Scripture, never fact-checking it. And so they lived according to that truth as it was Scripture, and guess what? It wasn't Scripture. And so don't let culture, even church culture, dictate your convictions. Allow the Holy Spirit to dictate your convictions. Sound good? You with me? All right, number three. Freedom is expressed, verse 44, in lifelong obedience. Freedom is expressed in lifelong obedience. Look at verse 44 and then we'll talk about it. I will keep your law continually forever and ever. I'm going to keep your law continually. And that could be enough, right? But then the psalmist continues forever and ever to drive home the point that he wants a lifelong obedience. See, how many of you know obedience is not momentary, it's constant. For obedience to be obedience, it's got to be constant. And this is not something we dread. It's devotion rooted in love and trust. It's devotion rooted in love and trust. And so freedom in Jesus means the power to obey joyfully. Freedom in Jesus means the power to obey joyfully. In Christ, as we just sang, we're no longer slaves to sin. This comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 18. But we are slaves to righteousness. And so that calls us to develop habits of lifelong obedience, daily prayer, regular Scripture, and accountability to make sure that we're walking in the things of God and not walking in the things of self. It's expressed in lifelong obedience. It's expressed in lifelong obedience. Look at verse 45. He says, and I shall walk in a wide place. I like this. How many of you like wide places? I like wide side. I really like tall ceilings and wide sidewalks. We kind of talked about that last week, didn't we? I like tall ceilings and wide places, right? I don't love crowds, because here's what happens in crowds, okay? And listen, I'm not trying to condemn or slap anybody's hand this morning. This is just a 6'8" person coming and sharing to you my experience. Okay? What happens in crowds is vertically challenged people. Okay? I'm telling you, don't get angry over here. Okay? I'll just look this way. Okay? They don't see me as a person. They see me as a pole that they can just bounce off of. It's fully padded, right? I got plenty of cushion, right? And so they just walk into me. They don't see me as a human being that they should avoid, right? They see me as an obstacle or a dummy that they can just bounce off of and lean on and, you know, all of that. I was in a crowd one time. I kid you not. It's a true story. I was in a crowd one time, and all of a sudden, this older gentleman started just leaning his shoulder, like, on my midsection. Like, I was a pole. And so I did what anybody in their right mind would do. I said, how you doing? It scared him. I kid you not. But that's what happens. Why did I tell you that story? I don't even remember. Oh, because a wide place, right? Because wide places. I like wide places. I like to have space, right? I like to have space. If I go to a movie with anybody other than my wife, right? And this changed in COVID. Y'all remember that pandemic we had back in 2020? Okay, this changed in COVID, right? Where you can't just go to the movie theater anymore and pick a seat, right? You got to pick it in advance. You got to reserve it, right? But if I go to the movies with anybody other than my wife, I want a buffer seat. What do I mean? I want a seat in between me and my buddies, right? If you come to the movies with me and you're sitting all up next to me and you're wanting to share popcorn, uh-uh. Like, we're not rolling like that, right? I like space. The psalmist here was talking about how freedom is found in walking in wide spaces, right? This wide place represents freedom, safety, open space, safety, right? There it is. Open space, not restricted, right? Not restricted. Okay, seeking God's ways leads to a life unburdened by guilt and shame because it's a wide place. I shall walk in a wide place, for I've sought who you are. And so God's commands lead to this expansive living, this freedom living, not this narrow legalism. And so when we walk in integrity and truth, we walk free of fear. And so my challenge to you today is to make choices that lead to wide open space for godly freedom, free from addiction, free from anxiety, free from hypocrisy, free from all these things in the open space that God provides in His Word. I shall walk in a wide place, which sounds amazing. For I have sought you. For I have sought your ways. I have sought your precepts. And then look at verse 46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. In Christ, there's a freedom to witness without shame, without burden of anyone feeling differently than us, right? This boldness is rooted in God's word, not circumstances. He's ready to speak even before kings. The psalmist is ready to speak even before kings, those with power. And here's the thing we've got to recognize, fam, is that we are called to represent Jesus with confidence. We are called to represent Jesus with confidence in classrooms, on airplanes, in boardrooms, across kitchen tables. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel. Like the psalmist, speak the truth in love without fear of man. I will also speak of your testimonies. And then lastly, freedom is found in loving God's commands. We talked about this at the onset. Verses 47, 48, I find my delight, everybody say delight, in your commandments, which I love. I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands in worship towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Freedom is found in loving God's commands. Twice he says he loves God's commandments. This is worship language, as I've talked about. Hands lifted, heart engaged. And so my question for you this morning is, do you love God's word or do you just merely respect it? Think about that for a moment. Do you love God's word or just merely respect it? Think it's a good idea to have a copy. Think it's a good idea to have the app. Do you love God's word? Or do you merely respect it? See, freedom comes when your heart delights. When your heart delights in His commands. Not as burdens, but as treasures. And so, My prayer for us this morning is that our affections match our theology. Okay, what do I mean by that? That our affections, our passions, our loves match what we believe and think and say about God. Meaning that if I think and say that I love God, guess what? I should have some type of relationship with His Word. There should be some way in which I am communing with Him in prayer. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. Did I mention this last week? Y'all remember? Well, let me tell you what I said, and then you can tell me if I mentioned it last week. How about that? I was, man, you ever start saying something you wish, man, I wish I hadn't gone here? That's where I'm at right now. You should never say that publicly and let people know. But let's get vulnerable for a second. Okay, I received an email 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was an assessment that I was supposed to log on and fill out, this kind of personal, spiritual, evangelistic type assessment, which evangelism is when you tell other people about Jesus, right? And so I'm reading through it. I fill out all the information that, you know, right there, my name, you know, all these different things, the church I pastor, and, you know, all that, church size, all these different things. And then it asked me something. As the lead pastor in the church, when is the last time that you personally have told someone the truth of God's word in the gospel? That you've shared the gospel with somebody? When is the last time, one-on-one, not publicly, right? Because y'all know I do this quite often, and our messages are gospel-centered, and so we're constantly preaching and sharing the truth and the good news of Jesus, right? Publicly, right here, right, with you and in this circle. But this was asking more intimately, when's the last time you had a one-on-one conversation where you shared the gospel with someone for the purpose of them meeting Jesus? Now, I'm so thankful that I had just had a conversation with somebody that week over coffee. And so I was able to put in the last week, I was able to share the gospel with somebody over coffee and present them with the truth of Jesus and his word. But then I thought to myself, well, before that conversation, when was it? And as I finished the assessment, you know what I saw? 80% of Christians have not shared personally the gospel of Jesus in the last 5 years. 80%. 80%. 5 years. Now, I understand, well, Travis, I just met this person, and I don't want to, you know, I'm earning the right to be heard. I'm building trust, right? We're developing a relationship, right? But that should happen in 5 years, right? Or else we got to talk about your speed in relationship and building trust and your intentionality, right? And so as I thought to myself, I mean, thinking back to John chapter 9 last week, that this blind man healed to share and to tell everybody about the experience that he'd had with Jesus. And now here, talking about how freedom is found in loving his commands. What's his commands? We talked about it last week. Go make disciples of all nations. You are my ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal to the world through us. And so, do we love God's word? Pray that our affections and our passions match our theology. One of my favorite reasons. Well, that's not my gift. That's not my gift. That's other people's gift. And I get that. I get that. I'm not gifted in some areas that other people are just really, really gifted in. But you know what everybody's gifted in? Telling stories about their experiences. Everybody's gifted in that. Now, some of us don't do it the way that I do it, right? And throw their family under the bus all the time and all that stuff. Like, you know, like not everybody's gifted in that. But in some platform, in some place, whether it's on your couch with family, whether it's sitting around a table in a restaurant, we are all experienced in talking about and sharing with other people about our experiences. And where I've been convicted recently is that we as the church of 2025 need to make that a regular part of our conversation. What is Jesus doing in our everyday life, and how is he stirring our hearts closer to him? How is he changing our affections? How is he changing some of the things that we used to do into being more like him and sharing with other people? And here's the rub, even if they don't get it, even if it doesn't make sense to them, even if it makes them slightly uncomfortable, I love that the psalmist says twice, I love your commands. I delight in your commands. I want to follow them, and I want other people to know that I follow them. I delight in those things. So, three things I want you to take with you, okay? All right, sound good? Three things, real quickly. Number one, freedom's found in the Word. We've already talked about this, okay? But just three kind of takeaways from the text. Freedom is found in the Word of God. John chapter 8, verses 31-32. John Weller preached on this a few weeks ago. If you want to go back and dig into this a little bit deeper, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You won't walk in the bondage that you used to walk in the shame and the unforgiveness and the guilt that you used to walk in. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. True freedom is found in submission to his word. Freedom's found in the word of God. Number two, freedom is found in the way, capital W, way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Freedom is found in Jesus, in the way, in walking according to the way that he walked, in following the things that he did, in obeying his commands forever. Freedom's found in the way. And then number three, freedom is through the work of Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we already talked about it. Not in our doing, but in his finished work. In his finished work. Galatians 5, 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And so some of you may have walked in this morning in bondage. Past guilt, past shame, financial burden. The Bible has so much to say about money and finances and how to manage it and how to be generous. All those different things. I mean, some of us walked into this room in bondage, relationship bondage, all these different things. And listen, there's a lot of resources out there to help. A lot of resources out there to help. Counselors, therapists, Dave Ramsey. There's a lot of resources out there to help. A lot. But if you don't stop and say, I'm committing my life to following God, his word, his truth, and walking according to his commandments, guess what? You'll always feel like you're in bondage. You'll never find true freedom. You'll never find true freedom. You'll never find true freedom. Come on, Dylan and Jenny. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to close with this while these guys are coming. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's talking about the ministries, the ministers, all of these things of the new covenant, the new command that God has made. And he's referencing back to Moses and talking about when Moses would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened and all these different things. And it's not going to be on your screen, so just focus in here. But then he turns, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 3, verse 15. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And then get verse 17. Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And you know what I talked about? You know what I thought about this past week as I was preparing the sermon, as I was meditating on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's so many songs that quote that verse, that quote that text. And we've probably been in churches before where we've sang that, where we've memorized it, where we've recited it back and forth. But as I think about and meditate on the word and what Paul is talking about here to the church at Corinth, and what he's trying to get across is that the old has passed away. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so I can't walk in bondage and walk in obedience to the Lord at the same time. Because if I'm walking according to the Spirit of the Lord and His precepts and His commands, guess what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's not bondage. There's freedom. There's not bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so here, again, let me read it one more time. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed. Are being transformed. We've been talking about that a lot lately. The change that happens and that comes from knowing, loving, and following Jesus. We're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's not something we can accomplish on our own. We can't manage our freedom. Freedom is found when we surrender to the person and work of Christ. And so as we close today, do your passions match your belief? Does your freedom match your belief? I mean, there's times, right? We all have those moments where nothing seems to be going right and you're just ready to blow everything up. About 9 o'clock last night, that's what I was about ready to do with my camper. Nothing was working. I'd already called a friend over to fix one thing yesterday afternoon, and then last night something else broke on it, and then I got electrocuted by the thing, and my wife and daughter hadn't been out there, that thing would have had some dynamite in it, and you would have heard it from everywhere. I was not experiencing freedom in that moment. Well, actually, you could make the argument I was, in a very powerful way, right? But my point is this. Even in those moments, where is God? Where is your pursuit of God, and does it match what you say? Does it match how you live, how you act? Because in that, there's freedom. We talk a lot about freedom. Everybody wants freedom. The only way to truly find freedom is to walk according to the way that God has called us to. In His Word. With Him. And that's my prayer for you today. It's my prayer for all of us today. God, as we prepare to sing one more song and close this service out, I pray that each and every one of us would evaluate. We'd look inward, as Scripture says to do, and see if there's anything in us that is not according to your will and your way. God, I pray that we would experience a freedom in this place. That we would experience a freedom in turning to you and walking according to your ways, walking according to your will, trusting your sovereignty, that you have a plan in all things, even when it doesn't make sense or we don't quite honestly like it. But God, I thank you for the lengths that you went through to set us free. And I pray that we'd be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.